Hello and welcome to Sneaker Report, your weekly roundup for all the latest sneaker news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constant here, and here is
Becky.
All right, let's get to it. So it's number 73, Nikon announced yesterday two items. So first one up is Z400mm f4.5 wide-angle fisheye lens. Okay, let's get to it. So Becky, give us a quick specs. We have a proper video out discussing all this, but just quick one.
For those who didn't see our announcement video, so the 400 4.5 is TC compatible. It's 1245 grams. It's supposed to be super light, super sharp, with lots of VR capability, 5.5 stops or six if you've got a Z9.
Synchro VR as well.
With Synchro VR, exactly. And a close focus distance of 2.5 meters. It is due out mid-July, and already we've seen some people put their hands on it.
Yeah, that's true, because obviously the videos came out before the official announcements of people holding the lens. I want to ask you first, what do you think of that strategy by Nikon United States?
It's an interesting way to get early reviews out. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is why some regions are given non-disclosure agreements and other regions are given samples and told to go and make videos about it.
That's true.
That doesn't make sense to me.
We don't want to moan, but what we want to do is actually, we would love to have this thing to be applied to all regions as well, because it's nice that, you know, people get those things. And of course, it's an interesting one. They've done it with 800mm as well.
Yes.
And 400mm as well.
Mm.
So we can see a pattern there. We would like UK and Europe to join the trend as well.
Absolutely. But it is lovely that we are getting these early looks, because it generates a certain amount of buzz about a product that we wouldn't get otherwise. The lenses don't tend to get the same kind of run-up to their announcement as bodies do, at least not in the past. So by doing this, Nikon are kind of giving us this preview and saying, hey, look, these real-life photographers, reviewers have put their hands on the lenses.
From what we heard, that the samples of the lens actually haven't arrived till late last week.
Yeah,
and into the EU.
And obviously those people who have the lens in the UK won't be able to talk about it until the announcement. So by the time this comes out, there should actually be some videos from UK reviewers and vloggers, hopefully.
That's true. So
in terms of the overall response for this lens, it's quite interesting that Nikon have brought out another 400, because obviously we've had the 400 2.8. Completely different price point. It's another £10,000 over here in the UK. So it is a very different lens. But a few people have been asking, why the 400 mils? Why not a 500 now and a 300 to fill those gaps?
Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss. What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, first one up is, let's compare it to 400 mil 2.8, so which is £13,500 in the UK. So it's a British pounds. 20% VAT included in there, et cetera, et cetera. This one is 3299, including 20% VAT. So obviously a lot cheaper. So four times plus cheaper. So smaller, lighter, the size of 7200, 100 to 400 lens, or as you say, 300 with a FTZ teleconverter attached. So small and light, smaller than 500 PF lens. Inexpensive for this type of photography. Again, it's a lot of money for a lot of people, but let's say if you can't afford 13 and a half grand and you do want to do wildlife and sports, then this would be a very good option. In terms of overall feedback, I mean, you look at the comments under all those videos that came out, which we will mention in the description under the video, people are very excited about it. So people definitely need telephoto lenses. It looks like we had, what lens we have? We had 800 mil, we had 400 mil, just recently came out.
We have the 100 to 400.
100 to 400. It seems like people are still willing to get more wildlife lenses. And obviously 200 to 600 would be the next one now, but we'll get back to it later on.
I think the 400 4.5 is an interesting one, because we don't actually have a direct comparison in the F-mount for it. There has not been a cheap, small 400 mil.
Yes, we have 500 5.6 PF, which is close, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, and then the 300 f4pf with a teleconverter, which kind of gets you there. A few people were asking why Nikon have produced multiple 400s in such a short space of time. Has a lot to do with the fact that they saw a pattern of people buying the 300pf with a teleconverter, and that it was apparently a vast majority of people who would do that. So I suppose their logic was that instead of making people buy a teleconverter to go with the lens, maybe we should just make a lens at the focal length that they want.
from the videos that we've seen so far, the image quality looks fantastic. So it's definitely superior than 100 to 400 lens on the longer end. It takes teleconverters, so you can push it to 800 mil as well. So again, you don't need to spend, let's say, you know, £6,000 to get 800 millimeter 6.3. It looks fairly small and light. Now, it won't come with a fancy case. It will come with one of those pouches, which is, I guess, we can live with. I don't mind that, especially at the price. But overall, I think we now have so many options in long telephoto that a part of 200 to 600 and 70 300, don't forget about that one, we pretty much cover there. So I know some people want 300, I know some people want 500. I don't think we need more of those right now.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for some wider lenses. And I don't mean wide angle, but just wider than telephoto.
Yeah, like wider than 100 mil.
Yes, like an 85.
Nice. Like an 85.
85 would be good. This is Nikon's 30th Z lens, apparently. Mm. So that's quite an interesting that this is the one that they chose to do next.
I mean, I can see the logic behind it. You want to get as many long telephoto lenses out before summer kicks in a lot of regions. So, you know, it's still winter in Australia, apparently. So, but, you know, you want to get those lenses out because people are traveling, people will order in more of those. I do want to have a portrait lens. I feel like I have a hole in my pocket.
Hole in your camera bag.
And money on my bank account.
Which needs to be spent.
Exactly.
Matt Irwin has produced a video of the pre-production model. He's actually shot a lot of video with the 400mm pre-production that's in this review, this kind of hands-on first look. It's a great video overall, and we highly recommend it. We're going to include a link in the description box below. But it's nice to see that Nikon are also focusing on videographers for these lenses. So it has suppressed focus breathing. Obviously, you've got that incredible VR for handheld stuff. And it looks very well balanced on his Z9 as well, which is great.
Then we have DP review as well with first impressions. I think they've given a fairly good assessment. We got Mike Granger as well. He tried it, he tested it, he loves it. And then we have Jared Pollen as well, who actually does an interesting comparison of shots taken with 400 2.8 and also similar shots taken with 400 at 4.5. And that just gives you a comparison in terms of depth of field. 4.5, while background is a little bit busier, I would say it's blurred enough to not to spend another $10,000 on top.
Interesting. Good. And speaking of videos, Nikon's next announcement was the Z30, which is what they've dubbed as the vlogger camera. It is small, simple, and has no electronic viewfinder. So it's essentially a Z50 with the top shaved off. We did talk about the specs in detail in our announcement video yesterday.
Exactly. But if you don't want to watch it, it's Z50 with a EVF shaved off. Literally, that's it. Built-in power delivery. So it comes from ZFC. A little bit underwhelming and expensive, in my opinion.
It's a bit more than we were expecting in terms of price, for sure. It is positioned to be in line with other brands' offerings like the Sony ZV-E10, which doesn't roll off the tongue, but that is their, that's their vlogger camera, which is roughly the same price. There are also other offerings out there from the likes of Fuji and Canon. So this is designed to sort of fit into that market so that Nikon users have an entry point, or people moving from, for example, smartphones to take a step into vlogging will potentially look at Nikon as their choice of camera.
That gives me two things to consider. So first takeaway from this, that Nikon cannot make a cheaper camera for the time being. So our assumption of the Z30 would be something like D5000, D3000 series camera. This is not it. It's a vlogger camera. I wouldn't call it videographer's camera because there's still a place for proper full-frame videographer's camera, and that's going to be expensive, of course.
But, for sure.
So it's kind of camera that doesn't really sit in a traditional Nikon lineup, I would say.
Agreed.
I am underwhelmed because of this, because I can see that it competes with other brands offering, but it's not the camera that I think we need to bring people into the system. However, maybe we are not that age to think about vlogger cameras in a way, and let's say we shoot our vlogs with something like Z6 on the gimbal, etc., etc.
Yeah, which is obviously considerably more expensive than this offering. I also think that perhaps in the UK, it's not like vlogging in the sense that carrying your camera around on a sort of selfie stick style thing is not something that's done as much over here. It's done far more in the States and also in parts of Asia. So perhaps we don't appreciate it as much because it's not something that we see a huge amount of. In fact, there's a certain amount of derision when it comes to vloggers over here in the UK. I don't know if you find that in your home region, but we'd be interested to know your thoughts on the Z30 for sure and whether or not you have a place for it in your home.
Could you just feel the Britishness coming through Becky's sentences when she said we are more reserved in here?
We don't like people walking around being like, hi guys.
Hi all. Yeah, I do Kermit impression on this one. But it's interesting. I'm not convinced personally. So I'm not convinced. I do think that price, well, when we put it opposite ZV-E10, it makes sense, the price. But if you're looking at it as an entry-level model, which is my mistake, clearly, thinking about this way.
It's so wrong.
I am wrong in my assumption of this. This is too expensive. So now looking at the prices of current DX, Nikon Z cameras, we got ZFC, which is currently on offer at 859, which is normally more expensive than Z50, but currently cheaper. And then we have Z50, which is priced at 899 for the body. And then you can have options with 16-50 and 50-50 lens or twin kit as well. I feel like it's a rehash of mm-hmm. what we have. Mm-hmm. So effectively, it's a Z50 Mark II. So you got Z50 and ZFC combined. So the power delivery and just overall build, but with the shaved over VF, that's what you're paying £200 less right now. If I would be a spied vlogger, I probably would enjoy that. I'm not 100% sure. So it's not the camera for me. That's why I feel like if it's not the camera for me, then no one will buy it. And obviously this is wrong as well.
I don't like it. It's not really the camera for me anyway. So whatever.
That's why I don't like it. Because it's not the camera for me. It's not Z9.
It's not a Z8.
Yes, it's not a Z8. That's I don't like it because it's not a Z8. Here you have it, folks. Okay, well, from your assessment of things, what rating would you give to 400mm announcement as well as Z30 announcement?
I think the 400, although I again would have hoped for something different in that lineup, I do think it will have a home in the Nikon rankings, particularly when you look at the price that it is. It sits right between the 100 to 400 and the 800mm mm-hmm. in terms of being slightly better quality than 100 to 400, therefore a little bit more expensive and obviously not as expensive as the 800 okay. because of lack of reach.
So give me a rating out of 5.
Out of 5?
Yes.
It's a solid 4.
Solid 4. Not bad. You're at 4.5.
Okay.
What about Z30?
The Z30, I think, has potential. So I'm going to give it a 3.
So when people say it has a potential, it means you don't like it.
I give it a solid 3.75.
Okay. I give it 2 because it's not a Z8. But, okay, do let us know what you think about Z30 announcements in the comment below. Do you like this? Is this camera for you? Would you buy it yourself? And am I right or am I wrong? All right. Let's move on to the rest of the show. So now we have some delivery updates. We're now doing it on a weekly basis. I think it's important to let you know how is your Z9 delivery? How is your 100 to 400 deliveries going?
Yes. So in the USA, B&H is now shipping the Z9 orders that were placed in November the 17th, according to Nikon rumors.
But we also had an email from one of our viewers who said he ordered his camera on November the 10th and he got it last week as well.
Huzzah. The ENEL 18D battery for the Z9 is back in stock at B&H and Adorama, according to Nikon rumors.
Those were out of stock for about 3 months or so.
Yes, they have been for a while. The 100 to 400, which is a tough one over here for sure. We get about one every other week. Mm-hmm. That was in stock at B&H Photo, is now sold out, but is currently in stock at Adorama.
So basically, we would say it's pretty much free stock in the United States.
Yeah, with maybe a couple of weeks lead time if you're doing pre-orders.
That's not bad. And then we also have 24 to 120, also currently in free stock in B&H and Adorama in the United States, which is incredible. Now let's move on to UK supply. So what's going on with our Z9s?
So Z9s have been coming in slightly more frequently. So we're still fulfilling pre-orders, but we're now on about day 3, which is good. One of our viewers actually got in touch and told me that he placed a day 1 order with another major dealer over here in the UK and finally received it last week. So they're still fulfilling day one orders or have just finished by the sounds of things.
Okay, so and then 100 to 400, as you said, we literally get in 1 month, which is not great.
It's about 2 a month. It's okay. One every other week, thereabouts.
Well, 2 is better than 1, I would say.
Yes.
Probably 10 is better than 2. What about 24 to 120s?
Could do with 50. 24 120s, unfortunately, it is about 1 a month on those. They are very, very slow.
Yeah, they're all in the United States. It takes about a month for them to arrive if you order them from B&H.
That's right. And then the 105 Macro, which has been out for a year, is now in free stock over here at Gray's, so you can place your order if you've been waiting for a 105 MC.
So happy, Becky. So happy. It's such a wonderful lens.
It is a beautiful lens. I will tag on to the end of that the TC1.4, which has been out of stock in the UK for nearly eight months. People keep asking me. In fact, I had 5 emails today asking me where the TC1.4 is. The answer is they're not in the UK or Europe.
The next one up, let's move on to Z9 news. So according to Nikon rumors, the new Z9 firmware version 2.1 will be released very soon in the next couple of weeks. So we looking at some significant updates, including but not limited to autofocus fixes and improvements. I hope they're right. I hope it's not the same situation as Z6 Mark II firmware. The good news is Z9 is very fast already. So, but apparently firmware is coming, which is great. Now, the website, which is called Kalari, and it's a company that specializes in infrared photography and converting digital cameras for infrared, they have a Nikon Z9 disassembly and teardown. So if you want to see those pictures of different camera parts, etc., etc., do head over there. Again, very technical article, not for everyone, but I think it's quite educational.
Yes, and then we have Nikon NRAW editing in DaVinci Resolve 18 shot on Z9 with firmware 2.0. That's on YouTube.
All right, so yes, Nikon released NRAW functionality with a firmware 2.0. Currently, only Blackmagic Resolve supporting this feature. So if you want to see how it's actually supported and how to edit this video inside the DaVinci Resolve, do look in the link description below.
Moving on to firmware updates, Nikon released a few firmware updates for some of their cameras, including the D6. They've added a USB item to the setup menu. Well, that's exciting.
Okay, yeah, they actually issued a supplementary firmware update manual, which actually covers that USB setting. So do click on that if you want to read that.
They've also added, when assigned to a control using custom setting F3 in the custom setting menu, which is recall shooting functions, you can now use it while the camera is connected via USB to a device running an app such as NX Tether or NX Mobile Air. They've essentially added the same thing to the D5 firmware update as well, so except it's custom setting F1 this time with the custom control assignment and recall shooting functions. So you've got that.
Mm-hmm.
They also updated the D7500.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this was one we haven't seen an update for in a while. They fixed an issue occurring during live view photography with a mix of optically and radio controlled flash units that would sometimes result in the optically controlled units not firing. So if you had, say, old SB800s or 600s that weren't working with the creative lighting system, mm-hmm. and also SB5000s, then your older flashes wouldn't fire. They also fixed an issue occurring when a flash unit was mounted on the camera that would sometimes result in the camera ignoring the value selected for ISO sensitivity settings, maximum sensitivity with flash.
All right, very interesting. So if you're a flash photographer and you got some of those latest flash guns, then do update the firmware on your D7500.
They also finally have an issue which they fixed. Performing a firmware update while the camera is affected by the second of the two issues above will not itself correct the problem. You then need to reset all settings.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to other Nikon things, Nikon won several Kappa Awards in Japan. So the Kappa Awards of 2021-2022 determines the number one product among the cameras, lenses, photography equipment released from April 2021 till March 2022. So Z9 won two categories, grand prize in camera category and also interchangeable lens digital camera.
From all 137 nominated products and a total of more than 1,000 people voting, the Z9 took those top two spots. We also got the 24-120, which won the grand prize in the lens category. It also won the zoom lens category. And my favorite, the 105 2.8 VR S Micro won the prime lens category. So well done to Nikon for all of those prizes.
If you haven't seen our live stream on macro lenses last Friday, where we used 50mm and 105mm lenses, do check it out. The 105 is fantastic. It was my first experience with this lens. I was thoroughly impressed. Moving on to other things, Nikon FM2 40th anniversary camera strap is now available at Nikon Museum in Japan. What do you think, Becky? How does it look?
We've got two editions of it. I personally prefer the black one, but they do have a sort of orange and black.
I like that one. That's more 80s, I think.
It's not traditional Nikon yellow, that's for sure, which is rather interesting. Yeah. But yeah, so we've got two limited edition straps. I'm glad that they're doing the 40th anniversary of the FM2. I think this calls for an homage.
I agree.
Yeah,
if you're in Tokyo, then head over to Nikon Museum and you can pick it up in person. But also, if you want to order from abroad, there's a bunch of other Nikon goodies like fountain pens, watches.
I want those.
Yeah, absolutely. You can order those. Obviously, be ready to pay for some import duties. But it is possible to order from abroad. Now, moving to other Nikon news. There's a Stockholm Film Festival, which partnered with Nikon to announce a short film competition.
Yeah, so the Stockholm International Film Festival and Nikon have launched a new short film award called Nikon Short Film Awards. Clues in the name. The award is founded to encourage creators all over Europe to use their creativity and create the best possible short film consisting of a maximum of 60 seconds.
Yeah, if you're an aspiring videographer, do head to that website where you can submit your entry and hopefully you will win.
You will win a Z series mirrorless camera of your choice and a lens to go with it too.
And if you don't like to shoot videos and you would like to swim, then Nikon has something for you as well.
Yeah, they've also decided to partner up and support the 19th FINA World Championships in Budapest 2022. FINA is the Fédération Internationale de Natation.
Natation.
FINA. So this is the 19th FINA World Championships that are being held in Budapest between June 18th and July 3rd in Hungary. As an official FINA partner, the Nikon logo will be conspicuous throughout. That's the marketing
bit. Lots of stickers everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that NPS, Nikon Professional Services, will be set up as a service depot to offer support and services, including equipment inspections, cleaning, minor repairs, and also a loan of equipment.
They actually first partnered with FINA in 2007 and have actually supported the FINA World Championships ever since.
That's true. Nikon loves swimming because remember, a couple of months ago, we talked about them partnering with some Japanese swimming federation as well.
Yeah.
So there is a pattern there. Maybe Nikon will release a Z9 Nikonos edition.
That would be so cool.
That would be awesome.
Okay, and lastly, Nikon have partnered with the Duke of Edinburgh's award, Sharp Shots Photo Club. So they're going to launch a new photography course that aims to help amplify the voices of young people by providing them with photographic and storytelling skills.
Yeah, if you're young people, do take this course.
Entitled Photographers Without Limits, the course has been specifically created for participants with a passion for storytelling and those who wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to take up photography as part of the skills section of their Duke of Edinburgh award. Now, to help each of the 9 participants bring their own story to life, Nikon will provide the selected students with D3500s and 18 to 55 lenses. It's a very rare camera for them to offer for that.
Not Z30s.
No, I really wanted to do the DV, but they didn't have it at my school when I was growing up. Now it's like a thing. I want the kids to do it.
Yeah, in my school, they had D200s and 1870s. That was the thing. That's what I shot with as a young people.
You missed what I said. Yeah, the DV.
What's the DV?
The Duke of Edinburgh Award. It's like a massive thing over here.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely huge. They get them to basically do these specific things, but certain schools partner up with them and they have to, like, you know, navigate for a whole weekend without adult supervision. They have to go and do these walks and hikes and stuff.
It's a Lord of the Flies all over the place.
No, it's like life skills. And if you...
Yeah, Lord of the Flies, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. The life
it's
skills.
It's like the scouts next level. Anyway, when I was doing the volunteering for the marathon, the Sussex Marathon, there were also kids doing the DV thing, right?
The Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And it was
amazing. They'd come from like all these different parts of England to come and do this specific trail. And I was giving them directions and stuff. They're lovely.
So is it similar to Boy Scout thing in America?
Boy Scouts originated in England, just so you know. They do have the Eagle Scouts over in America. Okay. Yeah, which is anyway. But the actual Scouts themselves originated. It was created on Brownsea Island, which is in Dorset, by Lord Baden-Powell. anyway, I know this stuff.
I am surprised as much as you are over there. All right, let's move on to third-party news. So now, this is a very interesting one because Wheeltrux will soon announce a new NF to Z adapter, which is Nikkor F lens to Nikon Z body. So think FTZ, right?
But made by Wheeltrux.
But made by Wheeltrux. Okay, the question is, if it doesn't have built-in autofocus motor to drive AFD lenses, which it looks like it doesn't, what's the point for Wheeltrux to release something that Nikon makes? So we already have FTZ2 or FTZ adapter. I assume it's going to be cheaper, but what's the purpose?
I assume it's going to be just a cheaper version of an FTZ.
But do you think there's a point of this release or not?
I mean, if it's really cheap, then yeah, it would replace out the FTZ for some people. It's not an FTZ2, so it's going to be uncomfortable to use on a Z9. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I don't necessarily see a point in it.
Okay.
But it's an interesting move on their part. Maybe this will then open the door to Wheeltrux creating an FTZ with AFD support.
Because they now have experience of releasing something like this. That's actually a very good point, Becky, because otherwise, I really don't see the point. I mean, my concern with third-party adapters, obviously, Wheeltrux is now well-known in releasing autofocus lenses for Nikon mount, so I assume the quality control is going to be really good. Yes. But with some Chinese adapters, you always have an issue, like focusing to overpass infinity and all this, you know. So why would you buy something like this unless it's ridiculously expensive over, let's say, secondhand FTZ or FTZ Mark II?
Yeah, it has to be sort of between 40 and 80 pounds for it to make sense for people to buy that instead of the FTZ, I would say.
Okay.
Obviously, the FTZ one is now discontinued by Nikon. When it was still being produced, it was £250 mm-hmm. with a discount if you bought it with a camera. It's an interesting one, but I do hope that it opens the door for them to go, okay, we know that this is successful and this works, so now we will produce this and put in an autofocus drive motor.
Okay, I personally think it's going to be anything between 100 to 150, personally, because sure. Otherwise it would be too cheap. And obviously, Wheeltrux is a little bit more above the no-name Chinese manufacturers, so fingers crossed. But speaking of Wheeltrux, they also now have EFZ2 speed boost adapter that allows Canon EF lenses to be used on Nikon Z mount mirrorless cameras with the support of face plus eye autofocus and lens stabilization.
Exciting. I like the fact that we've got some of these third parties producing, like the Megadap adapter, the ETZ21, which was an upgraded version of their original one, but still, it's nice to see that they're providing support so that people who have other brands can use them on Z cameras.
I mean, a lot of people are saying now that Z mount is effectively being the top mount of them all as a universal mount because it can fit so many lenses compared to other brands. On other brands, you won't be able to put certain lenses. Nikon Z can do that. That's why we have so many different adapters. So therefore, if you shoot on Z system, you can shoot your old medium format lenses, you can shoot your Canon Sony glass if you switch in. There's lots of possibilities like this. And having autofocus, similar to Megadap and Sony, it will get you over a certain period where you're saving up for the, let's say, native lenses. So, you know, the camera will work, it will autofocus, which is a nice thing to have. So they somehow learn how to reverse engineer the protocol and enable autofocus with the third-party lenses.
Exactly. Next up, Venus Optics announced a 90mm f2.8 2x APO full-frame mirrorless lens for the Z mount.
Okay, so APO, I assume, is apochromatic, so that should be very, very sharp. What's interesting to me that you can get an APO lens at $499, so,
that's right,
which is really good. And obviously, the lens structure is 13 elements and 10 groups with 3 ED elements, 13 blades, which is... we'll create a very nice bokeh there.
Should do.
You get 2x magnification. The weight is about 620 grams, which is not bad at all. So overall, as long as you don't mind manual focus, which is with, let's say, macro lenses, you know, it's not that bad. But I did find that, you know, focusing with 105 at close focusing distance was pretty good, though.
Yes, it's true. But it's nice to have another brand bringing out a macro lens for the Z lineup, and obviously at half the cost of the Nikon 105.
I agree. We just need 200mm macro lens now,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's what I want.
Yeah.
But I want it autofocus.
So Wheeltrux, Well, Nikon, I mean, we could try Nikon, but little trucks.
Yeah, exactly. You know. See what you can do for us.
Exactly. And we have more third parties here. So PhotoDiax announced a macro bellows for Nikon Z mount as well that will allow you to attach to any lenses via bellows and get extreme high magnification. So the good thing about this particular one, it's cheaper compared to NovaFlex version.
Mm-hmm.
NovaFlex is made in Germany. It's considered to be one and pretty much the only option available for Nikon Z system right now. So having another option which is also cheaper, which, you know, that produces similar results, is always good to have. So the course is only $60, which is pretty amazing in my books. And yeah, you can attach basically pretty much any lens to it.
Lovely. All right, next up we have Profoto, who announced a Connect Pro for Nikon cameras. We've already heard of Nikon's collaboration with Profoto, which makes us wonder why we aren't seeing any more speed lights, but is possibly the reason why. They've now released a new remote system for photographers to easily control their lighting while on set. And the Profoto Connect Pro remote system allows users to manage multiple off-camera lights through its interface, which can slide quickly into your camera's hot shoe.
Exactly. So it's basically a very fancy trigger with a screen at the back that goes on the hot shoe and controls your Profoto flash gun. So the interesting thing is, yeah, it has up to 100 channels, which is pretty good.
It's a lot.
It can control the flashes up to 1,000 feet, which is about 300 meters. And yeah, it supports DTL and high sync speed shooting as well at 330 feet, which is about 100 meters, I believe. So battery is pretty long, 50 hours. If you have Profoto equipment, it might be worth adding it to the system. Not cheap, about £350. Now, let's move on to software news. So Adobe had big releases of their Creative Cloud Suite. So we had video updates for Premiere Pro, which we won't talk much about, but we also have Lightroom update and Photoshop update. Let's go to Lightroom new features. So first of all, Lightroom now supports video and video editing.
Cool.
Very interesting. Now you can easily make masks and also invert them. They've enhanced support for the presets, so you can create more. And then they added tutorials into Lightroom, so you can search for them in there. So I mean, I never use that feature, but it is there available. Obviously, a bunch of new cameras and lenses are supported. None of them are Nikon, so, but you know, if you've got some other brands, it is there.
You've also added, which I find a bit strange, but okay, this sort of Adobe Connect thing where for Lightroom Mobile, you can connect with the photographers and edit their photos and allow them to edit yours, which I suppose is kind of interesting from a creator point of view of allowing someone else to try, have a go at it, if you like.
But also I'm thinking is, you know, you can potentially, if you're on a shoot, your shooting is goes upload to the software, and then whoever, your assistant or maybe creative director, can slightly fine-tune the image to get a look what they want. So, you know, hopefully it all syncs really well and goes really fast. At the moment, I prefer to shoot tethered personally.
Yes. They've also added a quick and fairly instant red eye correction, which is available for the desktop application. There are other feature enhancements that they've added, and added, of course, support for new cameras and lenses. So if you've got a camera that perhaps wasn't supported, or a recent lens like the new 400 4.5 or something, then they've added compatibility for, not that one, but for other things.
That's right. And then Photoshop also had big updates. There's a cylindrical transform warp available there. Then there's a new masking on hair available, so it's more fine-tuned. There's a bunch of things which I actually like enhancements for guides, because I do use guides a lot, especially if you, let's say, positioning graphics on the imagery. So that's quite useful. But there's lots of different features there. Have a look at this, and Premiere also had update. Now, moving on to Capture One 22, it had a big upgrade as well. They've added Magic Eraser.
Hooray!
It can erase things magically.
Amazing. They've also added a tool panel redesign, cloud transfer from iPad, crop ratio, saved per image. Boring.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Rotation smoothness, style pack functionality,
mm-hmm.
a guided tour.
Oh.
A cuddly tour.
Features.
No, I'm just kidding.
Press one.
metal support on Intel. I don't know what that means.
Metal support on Intel is an Apple thing. They call the metal where you have like access to basically the hardware. That's called like access to the, you know, not via different APIs, but to the actual hardware via software. So it's just, it should make things a lot faster on Intel processors.
Cool.
All right. So lots of shortcuts, etc., etc. Do have a look. If you capture one subscriber or purchaser or owner, then do definitely update that. And then the last software update we have is DxO released a Nick Collection 5. So, fun fact. So, Nick Collection obviously includes different presets, and it uses the same three-point system as original Nikon Capture X2.
Mm.
And the reason for that being is because Nik Software had partnered with Nikon for mm-hmm. their Nikon NX2 software.
That's right.
When then their contract expired, they were bought by Google.
Mm.
And then Google released that Nik Collection for free at the time. And then DxO purchased them 2 or 3 years ago now, and now they own this company. So if you used Nik Collection before, it's pretty much the same thing, but more updated to the latest, you know, hardware and also kind of more modern interface.
Yeah.
So if you use them, you know what you're getting. If you're not, there's a trial version available on their website as well.
Great. Now for our review section. So we've got a 51.8S versus F-mount 50mm lens by yours truly. That came out a day early. Anyway, that's up on our YouTube channel now. If you're interested in the difference between the 50mm F1.8S lens versus the F-mounts, then that's the one to watch.
Yeah, and good comments below as well, because people did compare themselves as well, and they give their opinion as well, so have a look at that. We also had a review on this new Megadap ETZ2-1 adapter that allows you to use your Sony lenses if you have one on Nikon Z body, so have a look at this as well. Some great shots of dogs, deers, and people.
That's right. Now we also have Matt Irwin, who released a video called Adobe Shortchanging the Z9 and How You Fix It. This is a thing that's come up quite a few times with Adobe not necessarily configuring their camera raw for new cameras, and the Z9 is no different, unfortunately.
Yeah, the short answer is switch to Capture One Pro, and that's all, because Capture One is supposedly better with all models, even like non-Nikon ones. But there are solutions for Lightroom and Photoshop Adobe Raw, so have a look at that and see his opinion. We also have Chris Dublue testing 105Z macro lens.
Yes, so his is called Enter the Multiverse. It's a great video with some very simple but effective tips if you're new to macro photography. And he suggests that you give it a try. It's a great video to watch.
Yeah, beautiful drone footage. Becky, I think we should buy one. All right, and then in Weekend Read and Watch, we have a video which is called How to Pack for Travel Photo Assignments with Joe McNally via B&H channel.
That's right. And then we also have Visiting Ilford and How They Make 35mm 120 film. It's pretty wild, apparently. And this is by Ribsy. This is what we wanted to do.
Yes, definitely.
We actually asked them if we could come and visit and do that.
And they say we don't do that. And then we see Ribsy visiting Ilford. So I think we should try and knock this door again.
We should.
And again. And again.
Just pester them until they let us in.
And again, thanks for watching us this week. Hopefully we'll see you next week for another thrilling show.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. If you are on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe. We'd very much appreciate it. If you're listening on a podcast platform, then give us a follow, a rating, a review. All that stuff is tremendously helpful for us.
Exactly. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, you name it, all in beautiful high definition.
High fidelity.
That one.
Okay. We're also on the internet, so you can find the store at Nikon at Grays on Instagram. You can find me at Rebecca_Danese, and you can find him at Konstantin Kochkin.
Yeah, we do publish the pictures that we've taken with the lens that we review. So if you're interested in samples, then head over there.
And that's a wrap.
We'll see you next week. Come join us tomorrow for another live stream.
Yeah. We've been hard at work this week. Thank you very much for watching.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.